Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I am your host, Jay Williams, and joining me today is the lovely and talented Christoph Katzbeck.
I don't think I have heard those two adjectives used to describe
you. What?
Ever, maybe.
Oh, Christoph.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, let this be the first.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're so kind.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm known for in the office.
Yeah. You're kind.
Just constant. I'm son of encouragement.
The son of kindness.
Son of kindness. So, hey, do you do anything for 4th of July?
Yeah, we did. We did a lot of family things. Sarah's brother is visiting from California.
Yeah.
With his wife, and they're 9 month old now, which is just awesome.
Yep.
And so we have been doing cookouts and everything just with family. Went down to Appleton on the 3rd and hung out with my family for a little bit. It's basically just been a lot of grilling, a lot of cooking out, and just hanging out in the yard, throwing frisbees. And
I may have referred to your nephew as a niece.
Oh boy. Okay.
I apologized.
I don't think he's going to listen to this, so I think you're okay.
No, I'm saying on Sunday.
Oh, you were in front of.
I interacted with them,
and you called.
I said, "Oh, is she asleep?"
Oh, that's embarrassing. Oh, I didn't hear about that. So I think you're good.
Well, in my defense, he was covered up, and there was only what I thought was pink.
Yeah,
like showing, and which is not a big deal either way. I was just like, I just went for it.
Yeah, and he's a 9 month old. And I mean,
I couldn't see his face.
Baby. Yeah.
I'm sure he has a very masculine face.
Completely masculine.
I did not.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
full beard underneath.
Full beard. I would notice. Like, you know, chiseled jaw. Yeah.
Okay.
Full Adam's apple, like all the things.
Yeah. All the things. But it was covered. It was, you know, you just saw eyes. And
so anyway, 4th of July. It's great. So
yeah, it's great. How about you?
No, just had friends or family visiting. So we lit off some fireworks, saw some fireworks.
Nice. All right.
Is it legal in Wisconsin to set off fireworks?
I think so.
Okay,
I mean, my neighbors sure think so. So
well, everybody's neighbor thinks so.
That's
so
true.
I guess it's just, it may be. Like,
we are at the point though where it's not exciting for our kids with fireworks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They do. They don't
That's
like
when you set things on fire.
Well, they don't like the loud noises at all.
Yeah.
And so
I gotta be honest. I'm not a fireworks guy.
No, me neither. I'm not.
This is where if Robbie was in here, he'd say, yeah, you talked about that last year.
But
nobody else pays attention. Nobody knows if I did or didn't. But yeah, I'm not really a fireworks guy.
I completely was as a kid. I am not as an adult.
I wasn't even as a kid. I thought they were boring.
Oh, well, I mean, we used to do, we used to do the not smart stuff like throwing them in trash cans and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
As an adult, that terrifies me a little bit. So
I did always like the snapper thing, the snap.
Well, those are fun, but those aren't really fireworks. There's
no.
I was going to say there's
it's
no fire
fun
involved.
To do,
but
you sneak up behind somebody and do it. And like, do you ever do it where you snap them in your fingers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's like
I was doing that.
Yeah. You're trying to be a little dangerous, you know? Yeah.
People say, doesn't that hurt? I'm like, not me.
No.
All right. Well, anyway,
let's get down to business.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 4th of July weekend, which is National Youth Minister Speaking Day. No, that's the Sunday in between Christmas and New Year's.
But this is pretty close too.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, Tom back in the sound booth was like, "Oh, you're preaching," and then he's like, "Yeah, that sounds about right with the date." Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, I was out of town leading up
to
it. We went backpacking, or not backpacking. I went off roading.
You guys had quite the journey.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun going out to Colorado and back and off roading and everything. So I got back in time for service, but that was not the plan to have me preach. So you did.
Yep.
And you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
We were in Acts 15. Right?
Yep. End of it. Yeah. I promise I was there.
No. All right. So the recap, and then I have a couple of questions about it, but you dealt with Paul and Barnabas separating as they wanted to go out on, they wanted to go back and revisit churches. You know, they'd started to go back on this missionary journey again, but there was a division because Barnabas wanted to include John Mark, who had abandoned them on the first go around, and Barnabas wanted to include him, and Paul did not, and so that ended up leading to a split between Paul and Barnabas. So it's a really interesting passage, and I thought you did a really good job of pointing out some of the unique things about it that it was important enough to include. It was a big enough deal to include, but there's no resolution to it. Like we don't know we don't know who was right, who was wrong. You kind of dealt with that. So it sounded like you were saying, it never matters who's right and who's wrong. And
yep.
And so whatever we might be dividing on, we just need to live and let live. You be
obviously,
you,
yeah.
And whatever you believe is fine, and just don't worry about it.
Obviously, yeah. Okay, that was it. Nailed it. Shut the book. We're good.
Great.
We're done.
All right.
No.
Thanks for joining us.
No, that's not. Oh. That's obviously not what I meant.
Okay.
No, I think that what it ended up being was kind of the perfect model. Maybe not the perfect model, but it was a model of what does it look like to disagree upon something, recognize that it is something worthwhile for both parties to pursue where they feel God is calling them, and to see where the fruit of that lays. Because there are tons of reasons and tons of things where separation, division, disagreements, arguments happen, and they're not fruitful. They are, I think I said in the sermon, they feel petty. They feel like it's unworthy of that sort of attention. And I felt like Acts 15, when you actually dig down to it, it felt like both of them were seeking and were going based upon a conviction that they had for what they believed God was calling them to do. And they were saying, like, this is where I believe God is really calling me to pour myself into. And I think we do see the fruit of that. I think we see both the fruit of it from Paul later on in his next missionary journeys. And then I think we see the fruit of it in the fact that Paul commends John Mark later on, and we see a restoration of John Mark, and we see that he is used for not just for the gospel, but I really was taken back by the fact that he is the dude who wrote the gospel of Mark. So I think that's a beautiful story of both people following that and God using that in an incredible way.
Yeah. I think we love to look at these situations and we think that there's a right and a wrong, and there isn't always. Like, sometimes it's just a disagreement over what does it look like to be faithful. And Paul deals with this a lot in his letters about, and you drew it out about whether to eat meat or not, like whether what day you see as holier than another day or any of these things. And I think, you know, a couple of things that play into this are like our personalities. So you pointed out really well that Barnabas is the son of encouragement. That's literally his name. And that's like, it's his nickname. That's what he goes by. And so it shouldn't surprise us that he's the one who wants to give John Mark another chance. And that he thinks like that's the most important thing he could be doing. It's so important that he's willing to divide from Paul over it. Whereas Paul is certainly painted as a little more, you know, a little less concerned with the immediate around him. Like, even in his own sufferings, he's driven to go and declare the gospel. And so he very well could have been looking at it and saying, look, John Mark's going to be fine. You know, he's going to land on his feet. He's going to be fine, but we need to go accomplish
right.
this. And
yep.
So I'm not dealing with that right now. And I think they can both, in their personalities, be faithful in how they are responding, that like God uses those different personalities to accomplish his purposes. And one of the things that we do when we think that there's like everything is black and white, and we make everything of like, well, this is the way you should handle this situation, and this is what you should say, you're eliminating the fact that God wires us differently, and that we are a body as a whole, and that John Mark needed to be restored, but that God put Barnabas there to do that. Paul's job was not to do that for John Mark. Paul's job was to go on with his
exactly,
mission,
yeah.
And John Mark's or Barnabas's job was to help restore John Mark.
Right, exactly. And I think that, so just to even go back to what you're originally saying, so that was a good reason for them to go those separate parts. But what you were also saying is there are some times where we do need to separate and go, or sorry. Where did my brain go with that one? Man, I had a...
well, let me ask you this, because
I was
hanging on
something
going.
And then my brain just went blank.
Like, I think one of the things we need to understand is there's a difference between separating and dividing.
Yeah, that's
like,
good.
Division
yeah, yeah.
in the body is bad. Like, separating, kind of going your separate ways, isn't always a bad thing. We have partnerships with churches in the area that we love and that we think are proclaiming the gospel and we know that we will see in heaven and that we are part of Big C Church with, but we go about ministry. We kind of would say, it's good for us to kind of pursue what faithfulness to God, and it's going to look different than the way it's going to look for you.
Yeah.
And that's different than dividing. We divide when there is a doctrinal issue or a gospel issue that is at stake. And we say, man, I don't think, like, there's a difference between saying, to be faithful myself, I need to go this road, and that to be faithful as a Christian, you need to be on this road.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Like, yes. Yeah.
And I think that gives us kind of a clue as to, well, when do you divide and when do you just kind of say, you know, hey, to each his own. So you think that to reach people, you should go about in this method or whatever. And that's like, that's not how I'm wired. And my conscience doesn't allow that for whatever reason, but it's not clearly unbiblical or unfaithful or a false gospel or anything like that. And so that would be more of a, okay, you go your way, I'm going to go my way, and we'll meet up in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And there's those issues with things that are theologically heavy that we would say, I think one of the ones that we have used, and I think you've even used it on Sunday mornings, is like the issue of baptism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we are theologically convicted as Baptists that we believe in believers' immersion baptism. We believe that that's what the scripture calls for. But we have brothers and sisters in like Presbyterian churches that believe in infant baptism. They strike a good argument, for one that we wouldn't say it, we think is that convincing, but they have the gospel, they love Jesus, they want to impact this world for the gospel and for Jesus. We would say, okay, we're going to worship a little separately, but we also recognize, we will be celebrating and worshiping before the Lord in heaven together, and we also have this common goal. And so I have to imagine, you know, we never, like I said, we don't really hear about Barnabas later on, but there has to be times where Paul and Barnabas rub shoulders again, and I'm sure it's fine, you know, and it's good. And I am sure in heaven we will see both Paul and Barnabas, you know, before the Lord. And I think it's important to recognize those and have maybe just have good categories for what that looks like. What is something that's worth? And you made a good category of separating versus dividing. I think it's good to have those two categories.
And sometimes you don't know in the moment, like, you're trusting. I'm guessing that Paul looked at Barnabas and had tons of respect for Barnabas. And so if Barnabas felt like that's what God was calling him to do, then Paul probably was somewhat supportive of that, or at least said, like, okay, well, you know, go. But it's hard to know sometimes of, all right, well, what is a central issue and what isn't a central issue? And, you know, you brought up, you kind of tiptoed around the idea of what we've dealt with, which a lot of churches have dealt with, is people leaving, especially in the last couple of years, because there's been the question of division around particular issues that we would say these are not central issues. But there also has been separation. There's been both of those.
Yeah.
There have been people who have left, and because their conscience it wouldn't allow them to stay, they felt like to be faithful, they needed to go. And I would say kind of the evidence of whether that was like biblical or godly or not is probably what's then happening. So Barnabas goes on with John Mark and they do incredible ministry, and Paul goes on and he does incredible ministry. Like, they are continuing to be faithful. You know, if the next chapter had been, and Barnabas and John Mark like set up shop and forgot about the gospel,
they just sold idols all over Greece.
They just sold, yeah. Then you'd say, oh, okay, well, that turns out they probably weren't really being faithful. But they were, and God worked through those situations. And so I think we have to, right now in this time where we're trying to figure out these different issues, and we find ourselves often disagreeing with people that we maybe had agreed with for decades, and now all of a sudden there feels like the threat of division, or there feels like separation. And I think part of it, what you communicated that was so important, was we need to stop boiling everything down into black and white, like, mm-hmm. right and wrong.
Right.
Like, we have to allow that the Holy Spirit is alive and indwells every believer and calls you to do something different than he's calling me. And one of the ways that we've seen this in the past is when we get a passion for something, And then we think everybody should have that same passion.
Right. Yeah.
And you don't realize, like, no, we're the body of Christ. So you might have a passion for helping single mothers. Like, if somebody comes to me and says, like, I just want to help single moms or single dads. Like, I just, like, that's such a burden on them. Like, I just think the church should be about this. And I would say, yes, the church should be about this. But then what'll happen often is they say, like, well, I only need 100 people to help with this. And we have hundreds of people. So why, they shouldn't be that hard to get 100 people to help. And they get discouraged by the fact that not everybody else is reorienting around this particular outreach or this particular ministry. But they don't understand that this person over here is radically caring for orphans. And this person over here is dealing, like, often with the homeless population. And this person over here is heavily involved in the public schools and reaching right. people to that. And you realize, like, okay, just because you have a different path, like, just because God has given me this passion, this desire, that doesn't mean that everyone else should have that. They should appreciate it and they should understand it, but they're not all going to have that. And so there might be, like, going your separate ways in the sense of, well, I'm going to go pour myself into this over here and I'm going to celebrate what you're doing over there, but I'm not going to be over there on that road because I can only be in one place at one time.
Exactly. Right? And that's so, like, that's kind of what really struck me is there's such a difference between the person who has a burning passion for a group or for a specific need. And there's the difference between that and a person who you can, and I hate calling out imaginary people, like building, you know, the straw man, but right. I'm going to for a second, like the person who it's all about their preferences and what they want and sure. what they're getting. So they'll go, I don't like this style of music, or I don't like the certain way they preach. So, well, are they presenting the gospel? Are they giving opportunities for you to serve those in this area? Well, yeah, but I don't like this. And I know, like, the kind of the cliche thing over the years has been, like, the carpet color, you know, they separate over the carpet color, and how silly is that? But there are other silly things that we end up separating over that aren't those, because, and this is what I think is modeled with Paul and Barnabas, is that they were thinking of others in this separation. Their mm-hmm. focus was on this mission that God had placed them on. It wasn't about them. It was about those who were within this proximity of what they felt like God was calling them to minister to. And when we separate out for selfish reasons, when it's not for the sake of the mission, it's not for the sake of what God has convicted us where we're going, it's going to be empty and hollow. Because whatever you think is going to fill you, whether it's a certain genre of music or a certain style of speaker or a certain style of church building, or even start talking about different styles of ministries, they're going to end up being hollow, because all it is you're looking to be entertained. You're looking to be fulfilled in certain ways. And that's not that you have been saved to be a light, and a light shines on darkness, and that impacts those around them. Mm-hmm. That is a product of it. And I think that is so wonderfully modeled with Paul and Barnabas. It wasn't about them. It was about the mission that they had set before him. And I'm struck by that, because we have seen, and we've seen it here at Faith, but we've also seen it across the world, is that there has been, over the last, I would say, 6 to 8 years, people who have left churches, some for great reasons, some for, and I'm sure it's happened more over the last 20 years or so, some for great reasons, some for not so great reasons. And that's where, in the sermon, I really wanted to hammer in on this idea of what's the reason? Are you at the center? Is it your pride? Is it who right. you are? And I think that I had referenced James when James had talked about quarrels, and he had talked about this idea of quarreling leading to death. And I think it's whenever we're at the center of the quarrel that it leads us to sin, because it's revealing these different, it's revealing greed, it's revealing covetousness, it's revealing jealousy, it's all these different things, instead of this humbling, no, I'm thinking of others around us, because that will cause us to disagree in a way that is different. It's beautiful. God ends up using it.
Yeah. I think that idea of putting us at the center, I mean, here's the thing. You mentioned, you know, yeah, we will divide and split over really petty things. The hard thing about saying that is that we all think that we only care about the important things. It's just a matter of, like, you see as something as petty and I don't. I think it's a really big deal. And so, like, it's that thing when we talk about when churches will say, well, we major in the majors. Like, everyone thinks they major in the majors. Like, I don't know anybody who says, no, no, I like to make petty things really important.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's somebody who thinks the carpet color is not a petty thing. And
right.
So if just the measurement of that is like, it's self-centered then. And so I think one of the things that we have to, I like what you said about preferences. And so if you're trying to figure this out, you know, if you're dealing with this, or you have friends who have kind of separated for whatever reason, and you've been really excited about something that's happening, or what's happening a lot right now of a certain author or a certain like book or a certain church or whatever, or your own church, and you're really excited about it. And now somebody else is like, no, that's like, I think that church is going that way. And so I'm going to be a part of this over here. I do think it's good for us to take a step back and say, okay, is this a preference? Is it a conviction, or is this central to doctrine? Like, is this central to Christianity? And there's more categories probably than that. But I think preferences are things like you talked about of, you know, like, well, I prefer this, I prefer hymns, or I prefer this type of preaching, or I prefer these specific programs. I tend to think like those, you got to be really mindful, like, you know, of separating over that. Within a church family, you can say, you know, well, I prefer this. Like, there's preferences that kind of come out. But if you're going to divide over preferences, that's typically going to be a very self-centered thing. But then there's a tier of convictions, which is what you talked about with baptism. Like, baptism's a conviction. We have a conviction that the way we practice baptism and observe baptism is the faithful way to do that. Convictions are typically worth kind of separating when you don't share those in common. So if you have a conviction that, you know, like I said, with baptism or communion or, you know, certain things where you're saying like, this is more than a preference. Like, it would be like, you can go against your preferences and not violate your conscience. Right.
Right.
So like, I can go into a worship service and they could be singing hymns, and I prefer modern music or whatever, and they're singing hymns and it's all led by an organ and choir or whatever, and I'm not violating my conscience by singing along with those. Unless they're heretical hymns, that would be a different thing.
Right.
But you're not going to violate your conscience by going along with other preferences. And in fact, it's often a very loving thing to do, to lay down your own preferences and serve others in that way and say, yeah, this isn't my preference. I do that. People think that like, well, when you're a pastor, you get to have all your preferences. Not at all. Like,
we're making
our decisions, like how we do communion, how we sing songs, how we preach, like all these things. There's actually very little in our service on Sunday morning that is completely in line with my preferences.
Right. Yeah.
But it's what I feel like is like what I feel like God is asking us to do, and it's obedience. And as an elder team, we think like what is for the good of our church and moving us to worship. So we should be willing and eager even to lay down our own preferences for the good of one another. But convictions, that's where, okay, I probably couldn't be a member of a church if it consistently violated convictions of mine. Now, I may not still, that's still not a dividing thing. I still might say like, look, you're a brother or sister in Christ. But if I have a choice, like I can't participate. I have a conviction, about this certain thing. And I just, all that's popping in my head right now is baptism, 'cause you mentioned it and it's such a clear, easy one.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's what Paul would have talked about with eating meat, sacrifice to idols. Like that's a conviction, which is why conscience comes into it. So if I do this thing that for me is sin, for me violates my conscience, well then for me it's sin, but it may not be for you, but that conviction may bring me to say, you know what, I think to be faithful, I need to go down this different road than you're going down. I need to be a part of this church and not that church. But that's still not division. Like, I still am looking at it and saying, yeah, but we're still brothers and sisters, right?
Right, right. And I think, I also throw this in there just because, yeah, I feel it, is if you're wrestling with that, I feel like these are the sort of things that our pastors want to work through with you. You know, I think sometimes people feel a little awkward as if we're going to try to drop. And I'm so glad that you said that about your preferences, because I think that is a really common misunderstanding of, well, it's about your preferences. It's about Pastor Robbie's or Jeff's or any of the lay elders. It's about their preferences. And it's like, no, what we are seeking to do is to love others as best as God is calling us to, and to help send them out in the way that God is calling them to. Right. And oftentimes we've experienced, especially again in the last couple of years, we've experienced people that just kind of disappear. There's not a conversation. You go, well, where? And then a couple months later, you'll see them in the grocery store and like, oh, how's it going? And there's no conversation about it. And I've had conversations with people like, well, this was going on and we didn't want it because we thought it might be awkward and make you feel uncomfortable. Not at all. Like, let's have a conversation about it. Like, our prayers is that we as God's people would be best witnessing here in Northeast Wisconsin and in the UP as much as possible. And I think that that's our common goal. And this is what, again, goes back to Paul and Barnabas. We have this common goal, this unity in Christ, that we want the gospel to get out. We want to serve people. We want to love people well. And sometimes we need discerning voices who are going to be able to speak into, you know, that's a conviction issue. Like, maybe explore that. Or, you know, that is a preference issue, and here's why it's a preference issue. Let's maybe figure out what it looks like to help lay it down. And that's exactly what Philippians 2 talks about, right? That Paul says, look not only to your interest, but to the interest of others. And that sentence kind of plays out like a mad gab. Interest kind of is like a fill in the blank. Look not only to your favorite sports team, but to the favorite sports team of somebody else, or, you know, which is very hard for some sports fans to do.
There's a good example of that would be service times. You know, like right yeah, now, whether absolutely. You do yeah. one service or two services, or whether you're like, do we meet at 9:30 or do we meet at 8? Like, that's very clearly a preference. And some people would prefer to meet earlier in the morning and some people later in the morning. But to look to the interests of others would be to not only consider how this affects me that we meet at this time, but how does it affect volunteers? How does it affect teachers? How does it affect, like, if you don't have a young family, how does this affect young families? If you are younger, how does this affect the older population? That's what preferences do. You know, like when you're saying, yeah, this is my preference, but this isn't everybody else's. And so I want to lay down those for somebody else. And you're right. When somebody is struggling with that, a lot of times the discomfort is first felt in preferences.
Yeah.
And it takes time to learn, like, well, is this actually a conviction? Or is it, and one way to kind of tell is to say, like, well, do I think I could be faithful following Jesus in a church that meets at 9:30 instead of 9? Well, hopefully the answer is
yeah,
yes.
Right.
So, like, you talk about the Mad Lib thing, like, that's a good sentence to say. Could I be faithful to Jesus by being a part of a church that does blank? And if that just sounds silly, like when you put your thing in there, like put that in there of like carpet color, could I be faithful in following Jesus in a church that has green carpet? Like, hopefully when you say those things and you put it in there, you'd say, okay, that's obviously a preference. We have people though that, you know, conviction comes into it and you say, yeah, I can't, but then there could be a way to coexist. So for example, we have people who believe in infant baptism that are part of our church, but they're a part of our church because they feel like this is where they're growing and this is where they can be the most faithful. They can follow Jesus most faithfully. We don't force them to change their view on that. We don't harp on them for that. They can hold to their convictions. We don't force them then to be baptized in a way that goes against their convictions. Now, if we forced them to, now that would be where they would probably have to separate, because if you're in a church where they are forcing you to go against your convictions, that's harder. Like that's different. And you know, preferences you lay down, convictions is kind of like that middle ground of, well, as long as you're not violating your conscience in following Jesus, then, you know, I think you're fine. Then you go to the gospel centered issues where, like, Paul would divide over, well, you're preaching a false gospel.
Yeah.
And so if the, on the flip side of that, you know, could I be faithful following Jesus in a church that encourages me every week to disobey Jesus?
No.
Well, like, obviously no. Like, I know that, I think it's pretty obvious on that side, like where, you know, where they don't believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Like, well, no, I can't. Now I can't follow Jesus in that kind of environment.
Right.
Like that's a clear, like, I don't even know that we're not brothers and sisters at that point, you know? And, I just think it's important that whenever we're dealing with these things to consider that. Now, we don't know what Paul and Barnabas, like, we don't know which category they felt it was in, but in hindsight, it's somewhere between preference and conviction. Like,
right. It was enough for them to clearly have a sharp disagreement and separate
out. Right. And so that could lead to, it's possible that Paul had a certain view of how one is restored to ministry.
Yeah.
And that John Mark had a different view. And so Paul may have felt like it was violating his conscience to bring John Mark along. We don't know. My guess is that it was more like methodology and philosophy on this, and where Paul just felt like convicted, like, this is what I need to do and this is the way I need to go. And John Mark, you know, or Barnabas felt the opposite. And so they have a sharp disagreement.
Sharp disagreement, yes.
Which is a great example of how it's okay to disagree.
Yeah. It's okay to disagree. It's not okay when it harms the witness of the gospel. It's not okay when it is for petty reasons that disunify us. Like, right. I think that's the big thing. And my prayer is that we would be, after reading this, my prayer is that we would be so focused together as God's people on who God is and how he's calling us to love others that we don't have to worry about the petty things. That the petty things just kind of, they stay in that category. And we go, green carpets, pink carpets.
Yeah.
Pews, whatever.
Chairs.
Put us on turf. I don't care. Right. Like, let's just worship the Lord. Let's tell other people about him and let's go be his people.
Yeah, consistently we are called to lay down our preferences. That's just a really good rule of thumb. It's like our bent should be, if I realize that my problem here, my issue is a preference issue, then I think it's a safe bet to say, well, first step should be lay down that preference.
Yep.
Now, God may give you your preference in some other season or whatever, and that's fine. That's great. But that's usually a specific thing. Conviction issues, like, yeah, that is where we need to talk with one another, you know, and we do want to be a part of that. It's amazing to me. I think sometimes when people leave the church, they think that I'm going to be mad at them, and they forget that I love them. Like, they forget that I care more about their soul than if they, which family they're identifying with in that moment. And so, I want to continue to shepherd in that. And so I think, like, when you're dealing with something that is a conviction thing, and this is for anybody, like, talk to people about that. And then if it is a gospel centered thing, like, again, you got to talk about that and figure out if you find out that, no, I think going in this direction is an affront to the gospel itself. Well, then by all means, like, go where you feel like you're able to follow Jesus in that. But one encouragement I would give, because you did touch on this, of like the pain of losing people and separating from friends. And I just want to, this is one like little personal plea I would give. If you have been dealing with that at all, if you've had those awkward, you know, grocery store encounters or whatever, like, I would just plead with our church family to demonstrate grace and mercy and love. Like, I can honestly say, like, the elders of our church love everybody that has left. And I talked to pastors in other parts of the country, and they are all grieving the same thing. Like, there has been a major shift and restructuring in the church right now. And all I can think of is constantly just like more grace, more grace, amen, more grace, more grace. And give grace to one another, because there are issues that I used to think were convictions, but now I realize were preferences. And there were things that I thought were core doctrinal issues that I now realize those are convictions. And so you're going to give space to people. You know, we tend to want to make everything a big deal because it justifies our feelings about it. And so, like I said, very few people just say, oh yeah, no, I think we should totally divide over carpet color.
Right.
They'll have a reason why the carpet color is actually a conviction, like a theological conviction. It takes time sometimes for that to settle. And I think you see that with Paul and Barnabas, that there is a reuniting. There is a restoration of John Mark. There is redemption there. Paul may have softened. We don't know. Like, who knows? Maybe Paul had a conversation with John Mark and apologized to him for not taking it. We don't know. And so we want to just give a lot of grace and room for people to figure these things out. And then, but we should be praying that people are following Jesus. So
yep.
Like, continue to follow Jesus, be a part of a church family somewhere, be fully invested, encourage people towards that, and just give a lot of grace as we, cause it's just messy.
Yep. It is. It so. Is. If you have any questions for the podcast, you can send them in to us at connect@faithpeshtigo.com. We're also on Facebook. Thanks so much for listening. Is there anything else you wanted to throw in there, Jay? If you are listening,
you just made that awkward.
Why did I make that awkward?
Well, Robbie never gives me that opportunity because he knows once he's on a roll.
You're gonna go.
I was gonna say talk to us.
Yeah.
Like, look, yeah. You know, church, if you're part of Faith Church, we love you.
Yeah.
And if you are listening to this and you are not a part of a church, then we would love to help you get connected with a church family. We are not meant to walk the road of following Jesus alone. You see that all through scripture. We are made for community. That's really critical. And we would love to help you with that. And if you're struggling, maybe you're from some other area and you go to another church and you're struggling with like things you can't figure out. Is this a preference? Is this conviction? Is this like a core doctrinal issue? Like, we would love to help with that too and help you kind of figure that out. Because it is really critical right now that we understand what unity actually means and that we have it.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. The Bible calls us to have unity and but then also calls us to stand for the truth of the gospel. And there's a lot of voices out there that try to confuse what all those things mean and redefine what all those things mean, but the Spirit doesn't. And if we're it's listening true. To the Spirit, yep. Helping one another in that, then I think we can discern that and walk faithfully. And that's our desire. So if you need help with that, please let us know. Don't do that alone. Don't just be a prisoner inside your own mind figuring all this out. Listen to the Spirit and trust some brothers and sisters in that process. That's what I would say.
All right. I love it. I love it. All right, let's land the plane. As you go this week, go in grace and peace.